Hi, we're here now. Sorry. We are here. You're listening to Kaleidotrope on WFLUF, and we played a song because
we were running late. It's a thing for us now. We run late, if you know what I mean.
Okay, I'm Drew, and I'm here with... Who are you being today?
Today I'm going with Brit.
Brit. Short for... Short for Britney?
No! Drew! I only do composers.
Short for Britain?
Short for Britain.
How do you know about Benjamin Britten?
I'm offended. He's a gay icon.
Sorry, you just don't usually... Sorry, I didn't mean to impugn your knowledge of classical music.
Nah, I spied on your Spotify and you had a Britten playlist at the top. So I listened. And then I Googled. You have good taste.
I do, yes. We have a show. We're supposed to be doing a show. We're professionals.
We are. Very professionally concerned about our advice quarter hour, followed by random debate.
Do we have people to offer advice to? Didn't we solve all the problems of the world the night of the sock hop?
Well, we definitely solved a couple of things very satisfactorily. If you know what I mean.
Are you just going to do this whole episode?
Oh, listeners!
Wow.
Dear Drew and Brit, we love it. Keep it up. Aw, thanks, Holly.
Dear Drew and Brit, you're very cute. Huh.
Dear Drew and Brit, this actually isn't very different from your usual show. You always flirted constantly. This listener in particular makes a very good point.
We weren't flirting.
We were flirting.
Were we?
Oh, sweet Drew.
We were bantering.
We were flirting. Here, have another Samoa. You look like you need one.
Oh, look, it's someone asking for advice. Dear Drew and Brit, I'm hoping that you will have helpful words to give me.
About what?
I don't know, the text ends there.
That was anticlimactic.
Aha. Sorry, hit send too soon. Still getting the hang of these fancy earth phones. Oh no.
Oh no, what?
Listen to this. You may remember me from the dance. I am now going by Galaxy Bling.
Oh, the space dude.
I have decided to stay on this planet. I have realized your people are actually profiting off letting the planet melt. A radical idea. Oh no, Galaxy, it is not a good idea.
Oh dear.
Do you have any advice how to fit in here better? Galaxy, good luck. None of us know how to fit in. We're all just flailing around.
But, I mean, that's what makes us all fit in.
Well,
we're all just flailing around worrying we're not fitting in. All of us. And so by worrying that we're all not fitting in together, we're actually all fitting in together. See? It's kind of like a double negative.
A double negative is like, I won't not do that.
Right. This is like that. So worrying about fitting in, Galaxy, that makes you the humanest human there is. Welcome to the planet, Galaxy Bling. We look forward to you helping us try to save it.
Well, that was very sweet.
You know, we should tell everyone what happened after the dance.
What happened after the dance?
Yes, to us.
What happened to us after the dance?
Yes, Drew. Like how we haven't been expelled? And you say I have the one-track mind.
Oh, yes. We haven't been expelled, which is why we're still here to do this show.
We haven't been sued either.
We could still be sued.
What?
The board has time to sue us. They don't have to sue us right away. They can sue us later after they talk to their lawyers.
Let's look on the bright side and say that we're not getting sued. Have another Samoa, dear.
Hmm.
And then Drew wrote a Humans of Saddlesmith column, which I hope all of you read because it was amazing.
You only think that because it was about you.
No, I don't. Here, I'll tell everyone my favorite part of the column.
They've already read it.
They might not have read it. For a lot of years, I hid huge parts of myself behind frowns and cynicism and nom de plume. In a way, it's a lot like Sidlesmith, as hiding behind tropes and origin stories and magic. It makes sense that I always felt at home here, even when I felt like I was an uneasy, jagged piece that didn't slide in smoothly. I don't know that I'm going to stop hiding, any more than people are going to stop flirting with the baristas at Kishi's. But now, we can all do this knowing that people, the right people, are able to find us. You cannot believe all the ways in which Harrison and I are opposites. He's cheerful and sunny and indefatigable. He has terrible taste in music and cookies and coffee. And the other day he told me that the 2005 Pride and Prejudice was better than the Colin Firth version. But he sees me, and he makes me feel like I'm what he wants to see. And I have no idea where this is going. But I want to see him right back. Humans of Sidlesmith, welcome to the post-magic era. More magic-filled than any of us ever thought. Long live the Fluffers.
What was that?
What?
That accent.
Oh, that was you.
That's not what I sound like.
Isn't it?
Anyway, just so you know, listeners, he has that passage memorized.
I have that memorized.
Please, anyone, text us asking for advice before Harrison says any more sickeningly saccharine things.
You said those things.
Thank God. Thank you, loyal listener. Dear Drew and Britt, I am a long-time listener with a very real problem. Should I sleep with the devil?
Oh, well, that's an easy one. No.
Yes. Yes.
No. You think they should sleep with the devil?
Yeah, if they want to, why not?
Why not? You need a reason beyond it's the devil?
Well, I mean, if the devil's hot and into it, just use protection.
Use protection. You think devil sperm is stopped by condoms? Have you never read a fairy tale?
I have never read any fairy tales about devil sperm, no. Where are you getting your fairy tales? I want access to that website.
You can't have sex with the devil. There's always a catch. He always extracts something. That orgasm does not come free.
I mean, if you got a lawyer and were really careful about it...
You're going to outsmart the devil with a lawyer?
Lawyers basically are devils. Just kidding, lawyers. Please don't decide to sue us.
I didn't realize your type was the devil.
My type is not the devil.
But you'd sleep with him.
Is this about sex with the devil, or are you worried you're not devilish enough for me?
No, it's about sex with the devil.
You are exactly the best kind of devilish. The kind I don't have to worry is going to steal my soul with devil sperm.
Aww. But also, no matter how sexy the devil is, no one should sleep with him. It only ever ends well for the devil.
I promise not to sleep with the devil.
What about our listener?
Listener, you've heard, Britt, don't sleep with the devil. I mean, if you know it's the devil. We haven't even talked about how you would know if it's the devil, but if you know, then don't knowingly sleep with the devil.
Often he has a goatee.
The devil?
Yes.
Well, I don't think we should pigeonhole the devil. He might not always have a goatee. Might not always be a he. We've actually been very narrow-minded and sexist in our assumptions here.
What if I grew a goatee?
What?
Would that satisfy your devil kink?
I don't have a devil kink. What?
It sounds to me like you have a bit of a devil kink.
No, I think what we've ascertained is you have the devil kink. You've thought a lot harder about having sex with the devil than I ever have. You thought about the quality of his sperm. That's some pretty intense thinking.
I was thinking logically about the repercussions of demon sex. You were thinking with your...
Okay, maybe we should just have someone else text in and not ask us about fucking the devil. Listeners, literally ask us about anything else.
Oh, good. Genevieve wants to know.
Now, hang on, we'll get to you in a second, Genevieve. This is advice for Harrison. You don't need to grow a goatee. You really don't need to worry.
About your devil kink?
About anything.
That was a very sweet, romantic thing to say. Which is very typical of you, honestly. And I appreciate it. But also... So, you're admitting you have a devil kink.
What does Genevieve want to know?
Genevieve wants to know if there's a difference between devil sex and demon sex.
Oh, for God's sake.
God sex is probably very different.
I am actively looking for listeners to text me and save me from this conversation.
I think, Genevieve, your question depends a lot on what religious background you're coming from. Some religions basically refer to devils and demons interchangeably, but others make it clear there's only one devil, but a hierarchy of demons. If you started down at the bottom with, like, a lesser servant demon or something, and then you worked your way up through, like, the Leviathan all the way to Beelzebub, then probably the intensity level and general deranged nature of the sex increases at each level. What? You could make the same argument with angel sex. Like, if you're down at the bottom with a seraphim, surely the quality of angel sex would be lower than if you were fucking Gabriel, or Michael, or, you know, God.
How extensively have you thought about this?
Please. I'm not the one with the devil kink. But some things are just obvious.
I'm speechless.
Then, of course, you have the Nephilim, which are supposed to be like a cross between humans and angels, which means, you know, they're going to have some kind of enormous glowing...
Okay, moving on immediately.
Halo.
You look incredibly smug right now, and it's incredibly disconcerting.
How smug? Would you go as far as to say it's devilish?
Please... Do not grow a goatee.
This has been such an enlightening conversation. Thank you, Genevieve. Next.
Can I have another Samoa? I really need another Samoa.
Aw, Drew. Of course you can have some Samoas. I can bring some other cookie instead.
The Samoas have grown on me, though.
Isn't it better that now we can eat the Samoas at the same time and not worry about our hands inappropriately touching?
I wasn't worried about that.
You were absolutely worried about that, and it was sweet. Also very clever, because it meant I had a lot of fantasies about just touching your hand. I probably would have climbed right into your lap if our hands had ever accidentally touched before.
Okay.
I'm just saying, you made me have a thing for your hands. Drew has great hands.
Let's move on. Listeners? Anyone? Any text at all?
And now we can do all the inappropriate touching we want right here in the booth.
Probably Hal disagrees with you on that point.
Hal doesn't care. She's the biggest Hera Drew shipper there is.
I will literally pay $20 to the first listener to text in right now. Thank you. Wait. Oh.
Who is it?
It's V.
V the Vila?
The one and only.
Oh. We kind of lost track of her and Trisha.
They weren't at the Rose Dance.
Because they were in high school.
She's annoyed because our advice was, quote, less than useless.
Hey! Oh, nice job on the preppy Vila voice.
Thank you. I've been practicing. Anyway, it turns out we were right.
About them being soulmates? Aha! I knew it!
No, about them being mortal enemies.
What?
Emphasis on mortal in this case.
Explain.
Well...
Oh, and do the voice again. That was fantastic.
Dear Hera Drew, guess what? Thanks to your less than useless advice about kissing Trish to see if we were soulmates, not only am I suddenly the laughingstock of the whole school because she's been blabbing about it to everyone who'll listen, but the kiss apparently activated some kind of ancient genetic fail-safe mechanism designed to keep me from falling into enemy hands.
Oh dear.
first my wings started to molt, which was all kinds of fun, considering they haven't even finished growing in yet. And then my velar luster started to fade.
Oh, dear.
And now I've learned that unless I can switch off the failsafe, I only have 2 weeks left to live.
Oh, dear! How does she switch off the failsafe?
Fortunately, that weird-ass book in the family library says that if I can find a member of the enemy clan to have sex with by the time the 2 weeks are up, I can deactivate the failsafe and save my life.
Oh! Their trope isn't Vila Soulmates! Their trope was fuck or die!
This sucks. I don't want to have sex with someone who thinks I kiss like an anteater. I don't really want to have sex at all, especially not with someone like her. In terms of eligible members of her family, it's either her or her older brother, but he's gay, and I'm pretty sure he's a member of the Vampire LARP, so it has to be her. But I overheard her telling Carrie Rieselbacher that she'd rather kiss a corpse than kiss me again. How the hell am I supposed to get her to want her to have sex with me?
Yikes.
Anyway, I don't know why I'm even asking you for advice again after your last disastrous effort, but I figure you got me into this mess, you can at least help me get out.
You know, I never actually thought about how awkward that trope would be in real life.
It's okay.
Is it?
Yeah, first of all, V, I know you're probably overwhelmed, and this seems huge and terrifying, but I need you to understand something. You got this. You're not going to die.
Right. Not today. Not on our watch. She isn't?
No.
Are you sure?
Yes, you're going to be fine, but you have to put on a little war paint and get down to business.
Ooh.
The first thing you have to do is go back to that day when you both wore the same pink miniskirt. Now, she was threatened because she recognized you as a challenger to her throne. As an alpha female, she probably sensed your Vila powers long before you did.
Oh, so V just needs to remind Trish that she's still got the skills to challenge her. I'm sensing a John Hughes moment coming on.
Right, so you get all dolled up, put all your Vila charm on display, even a faded Vila, still a Vila, right? And you walk into school, but you don't give a damn about anything, and you remind her that you're still the challenger to the throne. And even more of a challenger, since you can bend the entire school to your will.
In other words, you need to speak her language. But wait, how's that supposed to get them into the sack and save V's life?
I'm guessing that. So, once you've gotten her attention, it's time to make the bargain. Think about it. You know her weaknesses. What's the one thing that she wants that only you can give her?
That's tricky. She's already head cheerleader and homecoming queen. Wow, that was fast. She must know Trish really well.
That's easy. She wants my dad's super cobra. She wants a giant snake.
I think she means her dad owns a vintage Ford Mustang.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, a small number of them came with what was called the Super Cobra jet engine installed. They're really rare.
Right. She's been obsessed with his for years. She used to beg him to give her a ride in it when we were kids, and she's asked him every year since we started high school to drive it in the homecoming parade. She'd totally do it for the car. Well, there you go. She saved your life. She gets the car.
She'd also be getting the opportunity to brag about having wing sex.
What?
I'm just saying. For some people, wing sex would be a draw. And I'm guessing wing sex is rare, even than a Super Cobra jet in a vintage 428 with a 4.30:1 rear end gear ratio.
Okay, that's extremely hot.
Thank you.
I'd just like to point out that V's failsafe mechanism is completely fucked up. Kissing her mortal enemy triggers a total meltdown, but having sex with them resets everything, so it's all good.
I think the idea is that if she's having consensual sex with them, then they're probably not trying to harm her.
Okay, but how consensual can it be if the curse is basically extorting them to both?
Shh.
Right, well, I guess report back, V, and good luck.
It'll turn out great. You'll see. Total OTP.
I have faith.
Oh, now you believe in the power of an OTP?
I've become acquainted with some impressive evidence in favor of OTPs recently, so my views on the whole thing have evolved somewhat.
Well, still have mine.
You don't believe in OTPs anymore?
Oh, no, I totally do. Except now I believe OTPs make their own magic instead of having magic thrust upon them by Sidlesmith myth.
Okay, that's very sweet of you, but maybe you should make your no magic point with an OTP where one of them isn't literally a magical creature.
The lesson of the non-existent Sidlesmith Valentine isn't that no magic exists.
This has been a very magic-heavy show, actually. Devils, demons, feelers.
If you are a centaur, tonight's the show to text into.
There's no such thing as a centaur.
You think the universe, with its abundance of amazing things we ourselves have witnessed, including a space detective from another universe...
I'm not entirely convinced of that.
I'm just saying, you think this universe draws the line at centaurs?
Half man, half horse creatures. Yes, I do.
Well, tonight's the night to prove Drew wrong, Sidlesmith. If you're a centaur, text us.
With photographic evidence. You can't just send us a text saying I have horse legs and expect me to believe you're telling the truth.
Why not? Hey, Drew, I'm shagging the devil. Didn't garner an eyebrow raise?
Well, that's because the devil kink discussion was entirely theoretical.
Just what a skeptic would say. I mean, it's okay. It's sexy. It's sexy skepticism.
Well, that's the trope, right? You're the one who believes in everything, and I'm the one who reins you in.
I don't know. I think it works both ways.
Oh, does it?
Yes. I keep you from going too far in the direction of cold-hearted pessimism.
Did you think I was a cold-hearted pessimist when you met me?
I thought you were adorable. And maybe a little sexy.
Really?
I mean, you really are sexy when you're being skeptical and forcing people to present you with evidence in your Anderson Cooper in a foreign land mode.
Hang on, do you rile me up on purpose so I'll go into hard-hitting journalist mode?
Well, maybe. But only because our listeners love it too. I'm doing it for them.
Yes, you're completely selfless.
Have another cookie. Also, thank you for confirming the existence of your double kink.
I didn't.
Ha! Saved by the text.
Okay, listener texting in as horse proof, that was not the photographic evidence I was talking about.
Actually, that was a predictable photograph to receive. You've got to admit. This is listener FFS.
My sentiments exactly, FFS.
FFS says, Dear Drew and Britt, you might not remember Andromeda and me, but we're the listeners who were shipping the two of you way back when you two were still being complete idiots. But hey, we knew you were in love, idiots, so we bought ourselves a bottle of champagne and are toasting our triumph.
Their triumph is our relationship.
Shh, what the math is. We're happy for you two. Happy you were right. FFS again. So please don't fuck it up, you two.
Inspiring pep talk.
We're going to do our best.
We're not going to fuck it up.
True.
What? Why are you saying my name that way?
What way?
Well, I mean, it's a good way. I like that way. I'm just not sure why I'm getting it right now.
Because once upon a time, you would have told me that your relationships always get fucked up. Once upon a time, you did tell me that.
Well, I... well...
FFS again. BT-dub, Andromeda, and I are now total besties. So, thanks for that. Aw, look at all the people we've brought together.
Not us.
Kind of us.
Okay, anyway, moving on.
Now that FFS and Andromeda have checked in... Andromafus?
Andromeths, I think?
Andromafus is better.
We could go with Andromeda.
Anyway, we now know what happened to everyone.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
We need to develop all new OTPs for us to ship.
Or we could start playing music on our show instead of taking texts.
Nope.
Didn't think so.
What we need are some new texters. Have at it, fluffers.
That was fast.
who are our newbies.
Hang on. The text is from Fake Out and reads, "Not so fast, Drew and Britt. One last person you haven't heard from, and that's me. Delilah's formerly real boyfriend."
Delilah? The person who brought her real boyfriend to meet her fake family?
Yes. Nice recap for listeners at home.
I think I'm getting the hang of this radio business.
Fake Out says, "Despite your very good advice not to do it, Delilah did indeed subject me to meeting a fake family. And then I found out and felt angry and betrayed. I thought Delilah and I had something real, and instead I was turned into a laughingstock for some actors to practice playing out a farce. I know that whole thing wasn't your fault. You gave Delilah good advice, but wow, did that suck."
Sorry, Fake Out. That's terrible.
Not everyone's like that. There are good people out there who can be trusted to tell you the truth and appreciate who you are and not break your heart. You just have to find them, and sometimes finding them takes longer than you wanted it to, longer than you thought it would. That doesn't mean they're not out there. You might have never seen a centaur, but that doesn't mean they're not real.
That was a really beautiful speech. And I really hope centaurs are real now.
This is a text from Mariah, and Mariah says, "Dear Drew and Britt, I hate to admit this, but I'm one of the actors Delilah hired for the fake family. I played the black sheep sister. And while at the time I thought it would be fun to play the rakish rogue role, I didn't realize how much harm we were causing Fake Out. I thought it was more like a silly prank. Delilah made it sound like they were constantly, well, faking each other out. Anyway, Fake Out. If you can find it in your heart to forgive me, I'd love to meet you and prove that Drew's right and there are good people out there. You definitely seem like one of them at the dinner. I'll be at Kishi's tomorrow at 6.
Aw, and so it begins.
Another OTP?
Probably.
And you're so sure that the person who didn't think through the ramifications of faking out Fake Out will be the best person for him?
Hey, we all make mistakes. And this is as good a basis for a happy ever after as any.
No, I don't mean to bring the whole tone of this episode down.
Uh-oh.
But sometimes OTPs don't work.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about it. Say, Joe and Laurie from Little Women. There's an arguable OTP who don't get to be together.
Please let's not talk about Joe and Laurie. That was the first disappointment of my young romantic ingenue self.
See? OTPs don't always get a happy ending. Look at Clark and Lexa, or Willow and Tara, or Peter Parker and Gwen Stacy.
You're wrong.
Did I miss the episode of The 100 where Clark and Lexa live happily ever after?
Yes. You missed all 7,000 versions of it.
What?
Because every OTP you just brought up, everyone you think didn't get a happy ending, they got the most happy endings. Because their fans showed up and gave them every single type of happy ending they could think of. Canon ones, and Omegaverse ones, and coffee shop AU ones, and arranged marriage ones, and high school ones, and college ones, and grad school ones, and retirement ones, and white picket fence with kids and a dog ones, and on the run from the law dashing art thief ones, and everyone. Those OTPs, they get every happy ending in every universe. Their happy endings are infinite. There's no OTP who has ever parted as long as fans exist. When the OTP runs out of its own magic, the fans bring theirs.
So there's magic all around us, and most of it is fan fiction?
Something like that.
What about us?
What about us?
How many happy endings do we get?
I only need one. As long as it's infinite.
We have a few minutes left on our show.
Do we?
Yeah.
Let's play a song.
Let's.
Good night, Saddlesmith.
Howard Drew, out.